This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here of Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrecht and Dan Israel. Tommy will be back in just a little bit. Dan joins us, our Chiefs insider here, as we get ready for what should be one of the premier games of the week in the NFL, Chiefs 49ers. We got all kinds of good stuff coming up for you here in hour number two. The IHOP hotline, 869-1240, will be back open in just a few minutes. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. But we're talking Chiefs now. I say we're talking Chiefs, Dan. I got to get your take on a couple of things. The NFL okay. Throwing haymakers this morning.
League meetings are always fun, aren't they?
Yeah. So we get, last night we watched the Raiders, and this does pertain to the Chiefs just a little bit, I think. I thought that was by far the best, the Jets' best offensive game. As sloppy as it was, it at least looked like it had some life. And then We get the breaking news this morning that they bring Devontae Adams in. I don't know if it's too late for them because I know their schedule is very difficult. But that Jets offense, minus Nathaniel Hackett, I guess, and plus Devontae Adams, becomes a pretty dangerous offense, I think.
I agree. I'll give you one word, and it's got to be eliminated from their vocabulary, and that's doink. They can't keep missing field goals. You know, I mean, You look at what the Chiefs have done over these last five games without the successful efforts of Harrison Butker. It would be a very different record, and I just think, you know, these – for the Jets anyway, those were makeable kicks and they didn't make them. And you're not going to go deep in the postseason without that. It's just all there is to it. Defenses are too good. But I do think the addition of Devontae Adams in combination with Aaron Rodgers, man, that's scary just by itself.
It's scary. The other thing is the other news that's made its way through is Jerry Jones is getting feisty with some local hosts there in Dallas. Which is interesting, and he's kind of on the attack saying that's not their job. Of course, that's their job. You and I know that. We're exactly. In this world to ask hard questions. It just is a constant reminder. Somebody who, you know, grew up a Cowboys fan and still tries a Cowboys fan away from the air a little bit, even though it's hard, I say this all the time to Chiefs fans, so blessed to have the synergy between ownership and general manager and head coach that they have. It, outside of the Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey dynamic, is probably the most impressive thing about this current dynasty run the Chiefs are on. It can, like, you can't take that for granted, how synergetic that front office is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people in their own jobs, Jacob, have, you know, they've been through a situation where there's high drama and there's 10 in the office, whatever reason, one person with another person. And that's very common. It's probably more common today than the opposite. And I think when, you know, I look back at my 36 years in this organization, there have been great times and there have been low times. And right now, there is no drama there. Everybody's on the same page, pulling the rope the same direction, and whatever cliches and, you know, monarchy you want to label it, it's phenomenal. And I'll be honest with you, I know part of that starts at the top with Andy Reid, and the top on the business side with Mark Donovan, and overall the top of the organization with Clark Hunt and the Hunt family. But, you know, I've worked in a lot of places, and sometimes even when the top leadership sets that precedent, it still doesn't permeate its way all the way down to the guy who's painting the lines on the field. And so it really is truly a blessing. And you can look at some of these organizations who've just been perennially bad. I mean, my goodness, the Panthers, you know, I mean, just seem like they struggle no matter what. And you know, I think the Jets of lately, you have to question Woody Johnson's efforts because they just don't seem to be effective. Now, this may be a turn for them. It looks like it. But, you know, you just don't know. And you don't know the inside dynamics there. Does that make everything sunshine and roses? Probably not.
No, and I think you've got, it's interesting you bring up Woody Johnson, Jerry Jones, like they've done this so differently. Woody Johnson could see the writing on the wall and made the change in week 5. Jerry Jones should have been able to see the writing on the wall for the last 3 years and cannot.
Yeah.
And you know, they're in about the same place. So maybe it doesn't matter. Chiefs Niners this week, Dan, it's a Super Bowl rematch. You know, these two teams have grown into a little rivalry, I think, for sure. I think it's interesting that San Francisco is favored at home with their injuries over the Chiefs, who have their injuries. And here we go. These are not the two teams we thought we'd see in this game in week 7, but they're two teams that are, you know, in a pretty good position this year. The Chiefs certainly better than the Niners. I love it. I think this is still a fascinating game, even with all the different star players we won't see that we thought we would.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. I feel like these are two teams that know how to play that championship caliber football. Doesn't always mean either team executes it that way, but they at least know what that's like. They've been there on that stage. So I think the fact that there's so much history with the two Super Bowls and on this, certainly for the, you know, San Francisco 49ers, this is a game that they have to mentally they have to mentally win for them to, if they lose this in a regular season, to me, that feels a little bit like there's no must win games in week 5, but, or what are we, week 7. But I feel like for them, if they lose to us again, there's going to be, you know, just this preponderance of evidence that they're just not good enough to get over the hope over the hump. Now, could be wrong, but I feel like this is way more important for the 49ers probably than the Chiefs, but nonetheless, big rivalry in my opinion. You know, it's a postseason rivalry, not a regular season rivalry, but rivalry nonetheless.
I agree. I do think there's clearly more on the line for San Francisco. But bad news for them, I think this is a really bad matchup for them right now. I think that when you look at what's going to make them really good, and it's all those weapons they have in the pass game, you got to run the ball, and they don't have Christian McCaffrey. Now, Mason's been good. I'm not taking anything away from him, but it sort of feels like they do well what the Chiefs stop well. And I think, you know, just on paper, this feels like a matchup advantage for the Chiefs.
Well, and I feel like, you know, in particular, I just think Christian McCaffrey he's a deal breaker. You know, he's a game maker. And so you take a guy of that caliber out, that's the equivalent of taking a Travis Kelce plus out for us. I mean, you know, that our offense would be different. And so their offense is different. And as much as they try to patch that, I don't see how you overcome the loss of a guy like that. Plus, they're a little banged up, you know, in other areas as well. But, you know, I think one of the things that characterizes these two teams is their ability to kind of reinvent themselves on a continual basis. Yep. And so I'm actually excited to see how they adjust. I saw the one game that, you know, they played this week and it was very good, and it was against an okay team, but it was against a good team. Right. But the Chiefs are right now defensively, I think, playing very well. And so it's not going to be easy for them. They're going to have to not only come out and play good offense against a good defense, they're going to have to somehow defend the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are a tick away from scoring 30 and 35 points versus 20 and 24 points. So I feel like it's going to be a fascinating watch to watch these two coaches kind of how they and look, if you're Shanahan, you know, at some point, don't you just got to pull every last hair out? I mean, it just feels like, for crying out loud, you know, what do you got to do?
Totally. I mean, it's you're snake bitten a little bit, but they're going to have a lot of players, I think, in this game, right? Like they're going to have some players back. They have been pretty good against the pass. They have been better against the run. So if you're the Chiefs offensively, all the injuries, all the things, you know, they've had extra time to prepare for this too, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
You've had, you know, extra time to create some trick stuff. The 49ers have been better against the run than against the pass. And I would bet you a dollar today that the Chiefs attack it that way. I bet they attack this game through the air.
Yeah, I think so too. And I feel like, you know, that would be kind of a good change up too for what the Chiefs have run the past 5 weeks. And we all know what Andy's record on the bye is. I mean, that's, you know, the more time you give that man, the more creative it's going to be, the more. Now, the one trick with that is that if you apply all your effort towards that creativity and that creativity doesn't work like you thought it did, you've got to revert. But I think one of the things that's been amazing about watching Andy Reid's career, especially over the last 12 years, because when he got here, remember, it was nothing but can't manage the clock. And they have done such a fascinating job over the last few years of managing the clock. They get into the second half and I feel like they don't make any really bad decisions. You know, that's unusual. I mean, I know he's got a lot of experience. He's the fourth most winning coach in the history of this league, and he deserves all the accolades he gets. But I think it's a real, that in particular is a real facet that you can point to and say, Andy Reid is not just Andy Reid. He continues to evolve and get better. And the coaching staff that he's put in place, you know, last week when they, or 2 weeks ago, when they challenged the, I think it was a line of gain or a first down, and the all the mechanics that are involved in that, should they challenge, then the challenge and what they do during the challenge, they're never kind of, you know, running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They always seem to be under, you know, a process. And I just love watching it.
It's been, I've tried to look at San Francisco defensively, and it's been a little strange. Teams have attacked them differently. You know, lately teams have been attacking them with tight ends the last couple of weeks. Before that, it was very much with wide receivers. They've been more susceptible to that thing. We saw in that most recent game for the Chiefs what we thought we'd see early. And again, I called that at the time one of the best individual offensive game coaching performances I've ever seen. The way they attacked with the tight ends in one half and then attacked with wide receivers in the second half. I don't know if you've been able to surmise if that was by design or just sort of not accidentally, but if it's what the other defense was giving them. But don't you think that's something the Chiefs can carry forward now, just to focus on different things at different times within a game?
I do, and I think it was by design. And the reason I'll tell you that is because they activated four tight ends, right? They brought up Fortson and made him active. Why would you activate four tight ends right when you don't know yet how they're going to defend you? So I do think it was by design. And I do think that is, you know, this is again the example of creativity that we see out of our, you know, offensive coordination, is that they're doing things that are different. And that, you know, how many times could we say 14 personnel? 14 personnel meaning one running back and four tight ends. How many times can you say you've seen that in the last 20 years. I mean, it's happened, I'm sure, but it's certainly not a regular thing. And I think, you know, what we saw them doing with three tight ends in the past few years, that was so fun with the tight end screens. And it just gets better when you add the fourth tight end. You know, now you could do things on both sides. You could do things on one side and still have blocking on the other side. There's a lot of change up that can occur there. And so I think that would be good because it's not something that defenses are used to defending. And when it comes to, you know, football, National Football League anyway, we've always said if you can make a defense think, you've beaten them.
And if you make them think, you think about what are they – because the halftime thing was switching over to the receivers. Is Juju capable of carrying that Rushy Rice role the rest of the regular season? Because he did, he did it well, but, man, he was wide open and running free in that last game. Is he capable of doing that consistently?
That is such a great question, man. I want to say he is. I really do because he's not that old. I think he's 29 maybe. I just want it so bad, you know, and I want it for him. I want it for the team. And the fact that he looked like he flashed like he could do it last week makes me want to say, yeah, he can do it. But I do think one of the things that would have been even the case for Rashee Rice is you have to do it week after week. You can't just show up every fourth or fifth game. You know, I think that was something we saw with MVS. He would show up every six games and make a huge play. How was it? You know, you got six contributions out of a receiver for an entire season. That's not enough. He's got to find space. He's got to get open week after week. And I think the fuse is lit. So let's see what explodes when we get back out on that field, because now would be the time, man. The Chiefs really, truly need that. I didn't think McCole Hardman was that effective. Sky Moore, I guess, has at this point been relegated to special teams. And you know, so the guys that we've got in that room, those are the guys that are going to have to step up. Now, do I think the Chiefs might make a move here still? Yes, but I think they'll try. But I think still, to your question, is Juju that guy, or can Juju Smith-Schuster be that guy? I want to say, yeah, he can, but it really is about stacking that week after week.
If Davante Adams just set the market, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network joining us, then the Chiefs will probably make a move because that wasn't terribly expensive for the Jets. All right. So defensively, this has been an interesting, the first 2 weeks of the season, the Chiefs just got annihilated by tight ends. One team that uses tight ends effectively in the Ravens, one that almost never uses the tight ends in the Bengals. They got better against the Falcons, the Chargers, the Saints. Now they're facing a guy who's been sneaky good, and that's hard to say because he's been one of the better tight ends in football for a long time. But George Kittle's been really, really good. We know that he has a chip on the shoulder against the Chiefs. He said as much. He doesn't like them. This feels like a Kittle game to me. How careful do you think the Chiefs need to be defensively to make sure he doesn't do what tight ends did to them in the first 2 weeks?
I think you nailed it right on the head. The George Kittle, you know, I guess if you broke down tight ends in the National Football League, there'd be two types. There'd be blockers and there'd be guys like Kelce who block and go out and actually receive the ball and run routes. And Kittle is one of those. And Kittle is a smaller tight end in terms of weight, which makes him faster and harder to defend. When you ask a guy to chip for 3/4 of a second and then go out into a route, man, that is not a lot of time for a linebacker to cover a guy. And so I think he would be one of their weapons, and always has been, really. I mean, he's such an effective player and a veteran too. Let's not forget, this is a guy with a lot of experience. This isn't a guy who's just busting onto the seams and trying to figure out his role in an offense. This is a guy who's played there for years. And then you combine that with the fact that he's got two Super Bowls that the Chiefs have taken away from him. I think it's a big deal. And I think the Chiefs, I would surmise that Steve Spagnuolo sitting in his office and on his whiteboard, goal number one is probably stopping George Kittle, especially with Christian McCaffrey being out.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has to become the top priority until your corners, you know, can't stop everybody that they face like they have this year. It is the national window kick late afternoon. No surprise. One of the games of the week, man, it's a good NFL schedule this week. And this is one of them. Dan, what do you guys have special coming for us on the broadcast?
We're trying to get the entire crew for CBS to do a thing with this. It's looking like the scheduling may not work, but you know, it's funny when we go into all these buildings, it really is incumbent by how far we're spread apart, right? And it's amazing. Sometimes we can be in almost an entire football field spread apart. It's just it confounds me. It's like who engineered this? What architect drew this up? But if we can get it together, we're going to have some special guests on Sunday for sure.
That'll be fun. You'll hear it, of course, over on KNSS, your home of Chiefs football. We love having it. We love having Dan, our Chiefs insider, in each and every week. Dan, be good. Enjoy the trip out to the West Coast.
We'll do it. Tell Tommy I missed him.
Go I Chiefs. Will. Thanks, Dan. Dan Israel joining us there. Always a pleasure. Such good insight there. I am fascinated by this matchup this year because neither one of these teams have what they thought they'd have when this schedule was made. And they're going to have to adjust. And this is one to me where I watch the coaching. Two of the best at it. How do they adjust? How do they attack? I really, you know, it's going to, on paper, it's obvious you start with Kittle. But what do the Niners do? Do they run the ball like they normally do, as good as the Chiefs have been? You know, it's stopping that, at least the ground portion of it with running backs. It'll be fascinating. We'll have much, much more on that game throughout the week here on Sports Daily. All right, let's catch our breath here a little bit. We'll set up our giveaway for the second hour, some HTO, our text to win contest. Right now, you can win an opportunity to get a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors and thousands of combinations to choose from, sweet and unsweet, or some iced and hot coffee, I should say, and some iced and hot coffee. The new fall flavors, Dirty Chai Apple Crisp, butter mocha pecan, all kinds of butter pecan mocha, I should say, all kinds of good stuff for you. All you got to do to win one of each is text us right now. The keyword is tea, T-E-A. The short code to text it to is 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck there, everybody. All right. We've got some college basketball to talk about. We've got some of your commentary to get to. If you'd like to get back in touch with the program, the IHOP hotline is back open at 869-1240. You can leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app, and we can take your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. It's Sports Daily. It's a Tuesday. I'm Jacob Albrecht. We'll be right back.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht here with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. Our thanks to Mike Gillespie of Kings of Kaufman, a Royals insider, Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, for joining the program. And if you missed any of that, you can always go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. It's easy. You go, you check it out, you listen to us. By the way, it's a great way to listen to the program if you got to hop out of the car or go do any of that sort of thing. We've got you covered. All right. So we have talked about a lot of things. We had breaking news off the top of the show. The Jets get Davante Adams. Jerry Jones has gone nuclear a little bit on the local media tour that he typically does. And we haven't even had a chance to get to the college basketball news that's been coming in over the last few days. And here we go. You know, it's not surprising to see that we had Kansas at the top. I think most of us expected that. They had the most first place votes, I think more than half. Alabama's 2, UConn's 3. None of that's terribly surprising. It's what happens after that that I think should have us insanely excited for college basketball this upcoming season in our part of the world. It is remarkable, in fact, historic, how good the Big 12 Men's Basketball Conference is expected to be this year. Get this, right? We have a situation. We've never seen this before. Five of the top 10 teams in the top 25 are Big 12 teams. Now, this feels like the SEC in college football. Kansas is 1, Houston's 4, Iowa State's 5, Baylor's 8, Arizona's 10. Think about that. 5 of the top 10 teams in the country right now in the preseason poll reside in the top 10. After that, you go a while. Cincinnati's in at 20. And then you have a bunch of teams receiving votes that include Texas Tech, Kansas State, Brigham Young, BYU is. And all of these teams are in basically the top 40 or so, and we've never seen 5 teams from the same conference be inside a preseason top 25. That's what we have in the Big 12 this year. This is going to be wild. This is what it must feel like to be an SEC football team. It must, because Kansas is at top. We expected Kansas to be at the top. I don't know that I expected to see 5 teams in the top 10, Tommy. It's wild. Of course, I didn't expect it. We've never seen it before.
Yeah, I think it tells me, at least, you know, specifically with Kansas, just the kind of respect that that program garners and Bill Self. Because, I mean, really, you take a look at it, and the Jayhawks, as we all know, didn't have a good year to their standards and expectations a season ago. They did bring in 2 additions to that team that I know are pretty highly regarded, players that could make a pretty big impact, but we don't know that yet. Like, there's a lot of unknowns about this particular team. We know Hunter Dickinson. We know DeJuan Harris. We know KJ Adams. We know them, but we don't know how it's going to work with the newcomers on the roster and how the rotations will play out and the minutes and how that's going to be distributed. And can guys like Zeke Mayo and Rylan Griffin, how big of impact players will they be? AJ Storr, will they be major impact players for Kansas this season? There's a lot of question marks with that specifically, which is why, for me,
it was a little bit surprising that they were the preseason number one. Not because I don't think that not because I don't think that they're talented, but because we just don't know. We don't know how it's all going to gel together.
But don't we know more about them than anybody else? Like that's the thing for me. Like, yeah, they have their own amount of unknown, but there aren't teams across the country that can roll three guys back like Dickinson, Harris, and KJ Adams.
Yeah, but you don't think that you know, we know more about, I don't know, the program that Dan Hurley has at UConn.
But how many of the same players does he have?
There are some returners, but I think that, I don't know, UConn maybe is a little bit more of a known quantity overall because of the level of success they've had the last couple of years. That would be the one other team that I would look at that I would say, just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're probably more than likely the number one team in the country going into this season.
Yeah, I would say it's Kansas because I think they have the best combination of things. I would also say it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Who cares? Kansas looked great on paper last year, too. A couple of things go sideways on them and it fell apart. I think this team is much more equipped to deal with some adversity. They're deeper. They'll have more options than they had a year ago. They're not going to be in a situation where they've got to force Nick Timberlake into a starting lineup when he's clearly not able to do that, right? Like that, those kinds of things I don't think are happening to this Kansas team like they did a year ago. But it's Houston, it's Iowa State, it's Baylor, it's Arizona. It's the fact that Cincinnati's in at 20. That snuck up on me. It's the fact that Tech and Kansas State and Arizona State and BYU all got votes to be in the top 25. This thing is going to be insanely good. I would really have to look. I'm not sure if any teams in the Big 12 are expected to be bad this year, Oklahoma State. But I'm not even sure about that. Like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be so much fun. And then there's the flip side of what we saw in that AP top 25, and that there are zero teams out of the AAC in the preseason top 25, which is concerning. Friday after we left the air, Wichita State was picked fourth in the AAC, which honestly I thought was a piece of good news. I don't know that I expected them to be picked that high, but I like that. I think that's good news for the Shockers. But the problem is, Tommy, if you don't have anybody in the top 25 going into the year, the optics of that are really bad. And it does, I think, put the pressure on the AAC to have really good non-conference seasons, because inside the conference, at least based on what we're seeing in preseason predictions, there isn't much expected out of the league this year, and it's going to be hard to pad those resumes inside the conference. So, you know, I think Paul Mills said it yesterday, is projected 6 quad one and quad two games outside of the conference that they'll play. Those become really critical games right away. I mean, right away.
You've got to take advantage where you can and when you can. And if you're not given,
you're going to have to win the league.
You're going to have to win the league. And, you know, if you're not given a ton of opportunities, which obviously based on the scheduling and based on all of that, you just aren't. And knowing that the conference itself is weak, and look, I mean, I think we can be real here. I think it's okay to be honest. The American is kind of a shell of its former self.
Sure.
From a basketball perspective, from a level of competition perspective. So it is what it is. You're not changing that anytime soon. And even if you wanted to, I'm not sure that you really could. So you've got to make the most of your opportunities outside of the conference when you can. And then I think obviously winning the league is going to be paramount too. If you can have both of those things happen, then you've given yourself multiple outs. You've given yourself multiple chances to potentially make the NCAA tournament. If all of a sudden you're non-conference quad one and quad two games, as few and far between as they are, if they don't go your way, man, then your backs are up against the wall. The pressure is on. You have to win the league at that point. And so that makes it that much more difficult.
And it might be a one team league. I mean, that might be what it
could
is.
Be. You it probably not. Will be. I mean, I think that yeah. it's probably will be.
It's hard to say. We know that UAB has a good program working out there. There are things I think that you can hope for, but you look at key games, and obviously Kansas State will be one of them. We assume, we hope, I guess, Northern Iowa and St. Louis are. You hope that Florida and Wake Forest can get you some sort of good game in the holiday tournament. But it adds an immense amount of pressure to those games. Immense amount of pressure to those games, because there just may not be very many of them. May not be very many opportunities for the Shockers. Now, we look at it too, and can Wichita State, who didn't get any first place votes but was picked fourth, can they be, and didn't have anybody on the all-conference first or second team, can they be good enough to win the league if it is a one-bid league? And I think that also becomes an area of focus when we look at it. And I would say, you know, if they get all of their eligibility stuff figured out, I would say, yes, I think they have a shot. I don't know that I would pick them to do it. But here's the problem with me for the American, Tommy. Like, it's hard to keep up with roster movement in the Big 12. I will be honest with you and tell you that I really don't know what any of these teams have done, right, as far as the transfer portal and any of that. I know what the Shockers have done, and they've had the most retention, which I think is good and helpful, but I don't know what anybody else has done. You can barely keep up with it, if you can at all, in the Big 12. I mean, I try to keep up with Kansas and Kansas State and Wichita State, and it's hard enough, right? Like, so these early polls and all of these things likely mean less than they ever have before.
Look at Kansas a year ago, the preseason number one. Like, I think that that's probably a little bit of why I've got some hesitation to really read too much into them being the preseason number one again this year, because they woefully underachieved based on that one preseason poll. They woefully underachieved during the course of the season. And I think that had you, and I'll admit, I didn't do probably the amount of due diligence that I should have leading into the season, because let's be fair. Like, there wasn't the depth on that team that they needed. And that was in place from the beginning. That was in place from the beginning. There were performers that I think the expectations were higher, and they probably should have been where they were, and they didn't perform. Like, Nick Timberlake comes to mind for sure. But then from there, you know, Kevin McCullough gets injured, and you don't really know what's going to happen with him long term. And he's there, and then he's not, and then he's back, and then he sets out a couple of games. Like, it was back and forth. But despite all of that, the Jayhawks never had depth a year ago, and they were still picked to be the preseason number one.
And they would have. I mean, the Arterio Morris thing is what bit them in the butt 1,000% harder than anything. And that's self-inflicted.
1,000%.
That's not an excuse. That's self-inflicted. Don't bring a guy in with that kind of history and not take that risk. That's why I actually, like, it was very clear what they needed to do this offseason, and I think they did it.
They did.
I think their depth is their strength.
The depth is going to be a lot better
year. And I think Bill Self is going to rotate 8 to 9 guys, and they're going to use athleticism to strangle people and wear people down. You know, I love, and when we look at the top 10, by the way, when I say we don't know a whole lot, and we don't, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Like, if your full-time job is not to be a college basketball insider, I don't know how you could possibly even do it. I don't, like, we have got to see teams play. Like, gone are the days where we know much. I think the reason people default to Kansas is because they know those three guys, right? They know those three players, at least. They know Dickinson, and they know KJ Adams, and they know DeJuan Harris. So they're like, well, they got those three back. Those are, you know, guys that have been in the mix to be All-Americans. We'll start there, right? And they've also had a good class of, you know, impending transfer portal guys. I think that's where that starts, and then we'll have to let it all sort out. I don't care that they're preseason number one.
Is there anything less important than a preseason top 25 in college basketball? I would even suggest that a preseason football poll is more meaningful than the top 25 in college basketball.
Probably so. I'll bet you we're pretty close to it with that top 10. I'll bet you that top 10 isn't that much different by the end of the year. But after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, think about the possible range of outcomes for Kansas State when we think about their season. Kansas State sneaky had this incredible. This is the most talented team Jerome Tang's walked in the door with, I think. Think about their range of outcomes. That's a team that could be in that top 10. That's a team that could, you know, be outside the top 40. and I think the Big 12 has a lot of those teams in it. And I don't think that's Kansas, and I don't think that's Houston, and probably not Iowa State, Baylor, or Arizona. It could basically be anybody else could fit that same description. And that's what's going to make the league so fun. We see inside the top 40, Tommy, 10 teams. If there are 10 teams inside the top 40 by the end of the year in this new Super League, does the Big 12 send 10 teams to the tournament?
I feel like we have this conversation every single year because there's always going
to
be...
But usually we're like, oh, they got to get 7 and maybe they should get 8 and then they get 6 or whatever. But you got to grow that number now with the growth of the league,
don't you? Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that it's if there's going to be any year where that's more likely than not, it's going to be this year just with the sheer depth in the league. And you're swapping out Texas and OU, which Texas has been... at least in the last couple of years, although there it's been a roller coaster from a coaching perspective, they've had a tremendous amount of talent. Oklahoma's been more fringe over the last couple of seasons. You're replacing those two schools with, you know, teams that like Arizona is absolutely a tournament team. BYU, it's going to be interesting with BYU because they don't have Mark Pope anymore. And how do they you know, come back from that? But, you know, they were a really good team a season ago as well. So I think that if there's any conference in America that can get double digits. I mean, of course, the ACC is going to be a team that you always look at, but the Big 12, for sure, I think has that
potential.
Well, the size
potential. Of it, right? Yeah. You grew to 16
Absolutely.
Teams. So it's just the size of it. But it also, like, they're going to beat up on each other for a long time. So, you know, they kind of need to dominate this non-con too. Tons of college basketball stuff. I mean, we're right there. Tell me, the Shockers play in 12 days.
Yeah.
Their exhibition. They play their exhibition in 12 days. Isn't late night like this Friday? Is that this Friday? It's either this Friday or next Friday.
I think it's this Friday.
On now. Like we're there. It's college. But I blame the Royals for the distraction. It's a good distraction to have. But like we're on it. We are right there. Oh, cannot wait. Can't wait. Two stories that are. Circulating this morning, Davante Adams traded to the Jets. He and Aaron Rodgers are perfect for each other. Davante Adams demanded to be traded out of Green Bay. Now he's demanded to be traded out of the Raiders. So they're all in. I get it. I think it makes sense for the Jets, and I'm glad those two can meet back up and do whatever it is that they're going to do this year because I think it'll make the league more entertaining. You could argue Jerry Jones makes the league more entertaining. I suppose he does with antics like this morning. He gets on to some local radio hosts for questioning his lack of offseason moves. We touched on this briefly, Tommy. I looked this up because I said I would. So the Cowboys, in since 1995 when they won that last Super Bowl, it hasn't been a lack of playoff appearances. It has not been. It's the fact that they have not won more than one game in a playoff in any of those years, and more often than that, they've won zero of their playoff games in those years. That's why Cowboys fans are frustrated, but they're getting to the play. Like I get why Jerry Jones makes all this money because the team's always relevant and he does a good job away from football of keeping them relevant. But in relevancy, I don't know that Cowboy fans have ever been more fed up than they are right now.
I told Max this during the break that there's a part of me I do feel sorry for Jerry Jones a little bit because he knows that, you know, he's working against Father Time, you know, and he so desperately wants and needs another championship, you know, before he kicks the bucket, right? Like, it just kind of is what it is, unfortunately, but he is just incapable of getting out of the way. It's unfortunate because there could be such a phenomenal brain trust with the resources that Jerry Jones has, a phenomenal brain trust to make the Cowboys a dynasty, like the likes of which we probably have never seen before, maybe outside of the Patriots and the Chiefs, right?
the one that he inherited, basically.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But he can't get out of his own way.
Those are some of the best teams we've ever seen. He didn't have anything to do with them, right? Those weren't his teams.
Right.
He was just getting started. But I would also tell you that, and I have a lot of 49er friends, and it's my easy go-to whenever they want to pile on and make fun of me for the Cowboys. And this is what I mean is like it feels worse than it probably has been. Cowboys have won a Super Bowl more recently than San Francisco 49ers have.
Yeah.
So like they have, but their own standard is so high, and that's Jerry Jones's doing.
The Niners aren't America's team, right? Like no, the Cowboys are America's team.
Yep. That's Jerry Jones's doing. That's, you know, that's the standard he sets for himself. But by any other metric, if you took him out of the equation and the results were the exact same, we wouldn't have the same conversation. So it gives and it takes away, right? It gives in that they are the most valuable sports franchise on the planet. He deserves the credit for that. But it takes away in that it sets an expectation that if you can't reach it, things like this happen, and they can't reach it. And he had a bad offseason. He made mistakes. And if he gets called out for it, he deserves it because it was a bad offseason. Yeah. It's a terrible offseason.
And don't you think that like there's a trend, and it's been going on forever, where with that franchise, it is overpromising and underdelivering year in and year out. And it's not even, I don't even want to say like overpromising, like blatantly, like vocally right. saying we're going to win championships, but in the way that the team is always positioned. And a lot of it's marketing. A lot of it is, you know, look how valuable the franchise is and how popular the franchise is, but then it's constantly falling short. Year in and year out. It's over-promising and under-delivering, and it's that way every single season.
Yeah, and it is self-inflicted, and it's annoying. And it's annoying when you can see it coming from a mile away.
And by the way, when I say I feel sorry for Jerry Jones, like, that's a small piece. Like, the rest of it...
I get it.
Rest of it, I kind of, you know, makes me laugh a little bit, because,
It makes me laugh, because I'm less invested emotionally in it now than I used to be. But I feel sorry for the fact that the best business side owner, like the best owner in the history of the business of the league and who has done great things for the league as a whole, can't get it done, and you can see it going up in flames in front of him. No, I get that.
He's not a football guy. As much as he wants to think he is, he's not. Correct. And that's been his Correct. Biggest downfall.
Always, always, always. He ran off Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, you can't do that. That story's out there. If you missed the audio, you can go back to our first hour and listen to it. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Daily.
Crazy J's Furniture and Sleep Shop is better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.